Blog Talk Radio.
Who am I if you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. It's true, you are thinking of me. How you love me is amazing. So amazing. Lord, it's so amazing.
Day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, February the 12th, 2023. Now, I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by the anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, and Pastor Vanessa Carver, and Minister Tina Brown. So on behalf of all of us here this morning, we want to say welcome, and we are so glad that you are here. At this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, pardon me, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for another day you've given us to come together to worship you, to praise you, and to learn from your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the message that we're about to receive today, and we lift up the messenger who's about to deliver the message that you would like us to all hear. We pray that there be somebody out there who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin that will want to come to know you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father. We ask and we say these things in your son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Because
hallelujah and glory to God. Glory it is now God. Time for our meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the mother of this our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a reading from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. Now, if you would please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank God that I'm able to be here and have some voice to do the reading. Praise God. Our morning meditational reading is entitled, God's Word is Out to Prosper You. We'll be looking at Isaiah 55 and 11, which reads, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Now, in the early church, whenever the word of God was preached, there were miracles of salvation, healings, and other signs and wonders. The demon-possessed were set free. The paralyzed jumped up and walked. People received their loved ones back from the dead. I remember saying in one of our church services that there was an anointing for couples who were told that they could not conceive in the natural to receive the children they had been believing God for. As the word went forth, many people received their miracles in that service. One of the ladies who received was serving that day as an usher. She and her husband had been believing God for a child for a few years. A few months after that service, she realized that she was pregnant with twins. God's anointing is always greater than our asking. I believe that all of my heart, with all of my heart, that we are truly coming to the place where as the word of God goes forth, it produces the very effect that the word promises. So if the word on healing goes forth, know that healing is already exploding in your body. Your miracle has already happened. Very often as you are reading the word on your own or listening to anointed preaching of the word, you will feel God's peace and joy and feel faith springing up in your heart. As the word goes forth and you find that you are strengthened to receive your miracle, that is the time to say, Lord, I receive my healing right now. That is the time to say, I receive your restoration for my marriage. That is the time to say, I receive your breakthrough for my finances. You don't have to wait until a church leader or friend prays for you. Every time your faith is strengthened as you hear the word, release it through your mouth to receive your miracle, for God's word is out to prosper you. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thoughts from today, as the word of God goes forth, it produces the very effect that the word promises. Amen and glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We bless
thank
your holy
you.
Name, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank
Lord,
you.
Lord.
Come on, make some noise here. Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. This song is to nations. This song is to the world. I'm so loud. Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. Come on. My mind.
Make one big choir,
come on.
I am sold out.
Jesus. I'm sold out.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together individually and collectively, hallelujah, to where we're, and we take our petitions, our prayers, our supplications to God's throne of grace. We simply stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. Because when we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we pray standing on God's word, trusting that he will do exactly what he says he will do, believing that he can do all that he told us he would do and exceedingly and abundantly more above that. So right now, I want you to bow, get ready to clear your mind and prepare to bow your hearts and go to the throne of grace with our beloved Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And God bless each and every one of you this morning. Let us go into prayer. Let us bow our hearts and our heads. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come to you, Lord, lifting up those, Lord, that are brokenhearted, those that are injured, those that are have been affected by the wars and all kinds of tragedies and all of the things that are happening across the nation in this world. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in these situations, that you would touch your people, that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would set free those that are held captive. We pray, Lord, that they will be free. We ask, Lord, that those that are in the hospitals and other places, Lord, where they're receiving health care, we pray, Lord, that you will touch, that you will heal in the name of Jesus. that you would protect the healthcare workers, that you would watch over them, come to know you in the pardoning of their sins, as well as others, patients and others that are being cared for.
Yeah.
We lift up the families of those that are suffering.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those that are having surgeries, we pray, Lord, that you will guide the surgeon's hands, that you will be with them. We pray, Lord, that you will be the judge for those, Lord, that are in the courtroom, that you will be the righteous judge for them, because you are the only one that is righteous. And we ask, Lord, that you would deliver them in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for those that are continually being abused in all different ways. We ask, Lord, that you would have mercy on them today, that you will touch in their lives, that you will free them. We pray also for those that are continuing to abuse. We ask, Lord, that you would turn their lives around. They will come to know you and no longer have that desire to hurt others. That you will heal their hurts, their wounds, their traumas. In the name of Jesus, we just praise you today for what you're doing, and we thank you for answered prayer today. We ask, Lord, that you will move in the schools, protect our children everywhere. In the name of Jesus, that you would watch over them, protect them, that the teachers that are teaching them, that they will be righteous teachers, that you will raise up righteous teachers to teach to kill our children in the school. In the name of Jesus, we come against all wickedness in the schools. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Pray also that the schools will be protected from others that would come in to try to do harm.
Yes,
Lord.
We pray that you would watch over them, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for the political unrest.
Yes, Jesus. Touch
in
that situation.
The United States as well as other nations, in the name of
Lord.
Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will step in, that you would bring about correction. In the name of Jesus, that many leaders will begin to look unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and not just themselves and what they want to do. We pray, Lord, that they will look to you in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you will bring prayer back into the schools and other places, Lord, where it has been omitted. And we just praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for what you're going to do in all of these areas. We pray for our own safety. We pray that you will continue to watch over us, God, as we go out and do your will, go on your assignments, and do the work that you have set before us, Lord. We come against any hindrances, anything that would try to block the things that you have given us to do. We pray, Lord, that you would give us free course in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We pray that we will stand against the enemy, that we will be more courageous and bold in our stance in the name of Jesus, and that we would utilize the power even more in these days to come. We pray, Lord, that the strategies that you have given us will be used in a greater way in the name of Jesus. That the enemy will not cause your people to fear, that they will learn to utilize the the weapons of your warfare and not carnal weapons, and not be afraid, praise God, and that you would be trusted even more in this area in the name of Jesus, that many will go forth, hallelujah, in your power, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that many will be spared and the work that you have set before us will be accomplished. We pray, Lord, for the ministries that are
Church, Lord.
On Spirit Alive this morning.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for each one of us. We pray that you would move, continue to move in the ministries that you have given us, Lord. And we pray for, of course, for Spirit Alive Ministries. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless, that you would continue to move in a great way in the name of Jesus. We thank you today. We thank you, hallelujah, for your greatness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Yes, hallelujah.
We thank you for how much you care for us, your children. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you continue to do for us. We thank you that we can depend upon you.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. And through your word, hallelujah, we can know more about you and have a right relationship with you, God. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the things that you do, hallelujah, in our own daily prayers when we ask of you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for making ways for us when it didn't seem like there was a way. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for all the resources. We thank you for the provisions that you continue to make for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness.
Yes.
And we just ask, Lord, that you will continue to help us, guide us, show us your way, Lord, that we will walk in your way and not in our own way, that we will fulfill the purpose that you have set up for each and every one of us.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord, if
there's
any sick among us today, hallelujah, any of us that are servant leaders and also those that are listening in today, if there's any sick among us, we ask, Lord, for your healing power.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord, right now.
Healing virtues to flow in the name of Jesus and heal those, Lord, that need a healing. We pray, Lord, that you would take away the pain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The traumas in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And all that your people go through in this life, we ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would bless in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And whatever needs that anyone stands in need of today, we ask, Lord, that you would grant it for them.
Yes, Lord. Make it so.
And that you would help your people more to look to you, Lord, than to look in other places. Hallelujah. But
put
their total trust in you, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Knowing that you will do it. Knowing that you will perform.
Yes, Lord,
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Knowing that you will, hallelujah, answer prayer.
Yes, you will.
Knowing that
you
already know what the situations might be, Lord.
Yes.
And that you care. Pray, Lord, that you will help more and more to look to you and cast all their cares upon you, knowing that you love them and that you care for them.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus. Thank
you.
Ooh, oh, to
Hallelujah and glory to God. Good morning. It is now time to break the bread of life. But first, I want to give honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is indeed the head of my life, to the servant leaders and members of the Spirit Alive family, and to all of you, God's elect all over the world. Blessings unto you and yours. And I'm so grateful that you're here this morning, whether you're in the sanctuary, the chat rooms, whether you're listening via your computers, or even to those that will listen in our library. I truly pray that you will be blessed by the teaching on today. But before I begin, let us start with a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come right now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will just, hallelujah, remove me from self and step into this body of clay and teach your children what you would have them to know about you this morning, oh God. Hallelujah. I pray that this message, Lord God, will bless someone to come closer to you, and that if somebody that does not know you and the pardon of their sin hears this message on today, that they would change their eternal address, that they would come asking you to be their Lord and their Savior. I pray this and all other things in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Our family, amen. When I look at the condition of the body of Christ today, I can't help but ask myself, Lord, why? Why are so many Christians operating from a place of fear rather than standing on your word in faith? Why are some of us accepting and adopting this new normal attitude about things, God, that you have already clearly told us are wrong, especially when we know that you and your holy word remain the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But yet, some of us have began to worship idols over God. Some of us are acting as if God needs a backup plan, or he, the almighty sovereign God, needs our help. Have some of us truly forgotten who God is? Have we really forgotten what he has already done in our life? I must admit that sometimes I feel as though some that say that they love Jesus don't really know or understand him at all. But oh, glory to God. Whenever we have those questions, we don't have to look any further than the word of God for the answer, which today is found in the book of Acts. We will be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. Our text is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17. We will be looking at verses 16 through 34. Now, if you don't have a Bible and you're listening via your tablet, computers, or smartphones, simply go to BibleGateway.com and type in Acts 17, verses 16 through 34, and it will bring that scripture up for you. Now, my teaching for today is entitled, Knowing Our Up-Close and Personal God. Because if we truly believe that God loves us, then we must also believe that he wants to be in an up-close and personal relationship with us. He wants us to be close to him. He wants for us to truly know him and to trust him so that we don't operate in fear, which allows other evil spirits to come in and overtake our lives, rendering us ineffective for the things of God. For you see, we worship what we fear. We can have a good reverent fear for the Lord that causes us to be obedient to him and to him alone. Or we can have an unhealthy fear that enslaves us to man. The fear of not being seen, the fear of not being accepted, the fear of not finding a mate, the fear. And when we walk in that kind of fear, we truly do forfeit every available resource that God has to provide for us. So let us now look at verses 16 through 21. Hallelujah. The word of God reads, while Paul was waiting for them, Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and with the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this blabberer trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. All of the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that we can see from our text today that the Apostle Paul was dealing with some people that were going through some trauma drama. You see, because after being chased out of Thessalonica and Berea for preaching the good news about Jesus, the Apostle Paul went to spend a few days in the city of Athens. Now, I can't tell you what Athens is like today because I've never been there. But back in Paul's day, it was a favorite place for philosophers and debaters to hang out. The city also had a lot of temples and altars and statues where people worshiped whatever god they thought would bring them the most favor or fortune. This was the backdrop for Paul as he began talking with people in downtown Athens and in the synagogues, telling them the good news about Jesus. They saw that he was a Jew who served the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh. Now, the idolatry in the city, it really bothered Paul because this was one of the primary sins that caused Israel to go into captivity in the first place. However, Paul began to talk about his life-changing encounter with Jesus, and he made sure to make it abundantly clear that this was the same Jesus that had been executed publicly, but then he came back to life. Now, even to the superstitious Athenians, the claim of somebody coming back from the dead was difficult to comprehend. And Paul attracts enough attention that they finally ask him to come and speak his beliefs to a large group of them. So today, I'd like to look at what Paul said on that day and talk about it. One of the most important truths that Paul spoke that day was this: God is close, but he wants us to be closer. Now, if you don't remember anything else from what I say today, I would be more than grateful if you would just remember that. God is close to each and every one of us, but he is not as close as he wants to be. And this is the main theme for my message today. You see, our Heavenly Father wants to be our up-close and personal God. Yeah. He wants us to really, really, really get close to him if we're only willing. Now, someone may be asking, how do we know that God wants to be close to us and all his people? We know because the Bible tells us so. The Bible reveals a very personal God who wants nothing more than to be close to those who will reach out to him. So now I want to uncover some principles that will help us all draw closer to the one true God. Hallelujah. Now, I've just read to you verses 16 through 22. And that was the setup. That was the backdrop for what Paul is about to say. Now, let's look at 22, verses 22 through 23. The word of God says, Paul then stood up in the meeting, hallelujah, of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God.
Yeah.
Now, family, I want you to know and understand of you this today. A person might be very religious, but they still will never draw close to God. Why? Because religion can serve many agendas. Some use religion as therapy to make them feel good about themselves. Some use it to make money so they can worship their real God, mammon, or wealth. Some use religion for the power or influence they might gain from it. Simon the sorcerer was guilty of this. He wanted more control over people, so he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know people have murdered others in the name of religion, either thinking they were doing God a favor or simply by eliminating the competition? My point is this. Religion alone will not save us, because Christianity is not about religion. It is about an up-close and personal relationship with God the Father through our faith in Christ Jesus. Religion is all about doing whatever makes a person worthy to be accepted by God. Huh. A man-made and all man-made religions fall short of this. Nothing we can do can make us worthy to be accepted by God. Only a right relationship with God through Jesus will make us acceptable to God. Religion does not take away our sin, but our faith in Jesus Christ sure does. Listen, if God remains unknown to you, then you are missing out on what you were created for. You see, we can be ever so religious, but God wants us to truly know him and worship him out of love and gratitude in spirit and in truth. Why? Because he loved us first. And it's his love that enables us to love him right back and to love others. Now, are you worshiping an unknown God today? Or do you know Yahweh, Jehovah, the one and only self-existing, true and wise God? And is he simply a force to reckon with? Or do you really want to know him? Do you really want to live a sold-out life for him? Because being religious is not enough to get us close to God. The text also shows us that we also need to know the truth about who God is in order for us to get to know him. So now let's take a look at what God and who God really is as spoken by God, Paul, by to these men in Athens. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just give you an overview of 23 verses 23 through 31, and then we're going to go there back and break them down. Okay. This is the overview of what this passage has to say about God. It tells us he created everything. Whatever forms of microevolution may exist, the raw materials all came from God. Yes, it did. If things started out with a mass of swirling gas, what was the source of those gases? You see, God created this world and all that is in it. And then he created man in his own image. But man fell away from God through disobedience. But God, hallelujah, provided a way for that relationship to be fixed through his only begotten son, Christ Jesus. You see, God is the creator, and he longs to see his greatest creation, his high point of all creation. He wants to see man be restored to a right relationship to him. As man's creator, he has authority over man and over all things, since he is the source of all things. Man is answerable to his creator. God is totally self-sufficient. You see, God needs nothing from mankind. God is complete in himself. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is a unity in the Godhead that is beyond our little understanding. God did not create man out of necessity or for companionship or for any other necessity. We were created simply for God's pleasure. That's it. That's all. No other reason.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, so that tells us that man does not meet the need God has for self-fulfillment security or an object for his affection. Does he love us? Absolutely. Does he need us? Absolutely not. For God is complete. He is totally self-sufficient and does not need anything from us. This can further be seen in the next phrase, which shows that while man cannot meet any of God's needs, God is certainly the source for man's need. Why? Because verse 25b says, he gives life and breath, everything else, and everything else to mankind. There is nothing man can give God that God has not already given to man. Why? Because God is the source. He is a divine strategist, thanks to God. He has a plan for all of us. And we're going to talk more about this one in a minute. He is not far from us, says verses 27b through 28. This is one of the most exciting truths in this passage to me. Paul is not even speaking to Christians here. Right now, he's speaking to the pagan philosophers, the Stoics, and the Epicureans. This is Paul's first major exposition of the gospel to an audience without a background of Old Testament theology or Jewish thought. See,
yeah.
The Stoics were pantheistic, hallelujah, I'm going to get that out, believing that God was in everything. God is all, and all is God. They were also opposed to self-indulgence and pleasure. Now, the Epicureans, on the other hand, oh, they lived for enjoyment and fulfillment. They did not deny that deities existed, but saw them as very far away and unconcerned about the affairs of man. So Paul tells these people that God set up things so that man would seek after him and find him, although he is never far away from any of us. Many people seem to adopt this Epicurean view that God is so far off that he doesn't even know what is going on in our little world. However, that is not what our Bible teaches, nor is it consistent with the life experience of a true believer. Look here, Psalms 119, 150 through 151. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Then in Isaiah 55 and 6 we read, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. He is not far from anyone here today. All that is needed is a heart that will start looking for him. And I guarantee you, you can trust and believe you will find him. Our up close and personal God is much more than our grandest ideals of him. Men have made idols of gold and silver. Many of them are beautiful beyond imagination, according to man's standards. However, these idols fall so pathetically short of showing what God is like that God commanded his people not to make idols. Only a living being made in God's image is capable of showing what God is like. Christians, we have been given that charge. We are here to show the world what God is like so that they may desire to know him for themselves. So let's not limit God by trying to make him in our image, but let us rise, hallelujah, so that we can strive to live in his. Now, what else can we learn about this knowable God? Well, he has overlooked past ignorance. Oh, but now God requires repentance. Found in verse 30. You see, saints, the time of ignorance is dead and gone. It's past.
Yeah.
Now that Jesus the Messiah has come and the age of the kingdom has come, man may no longer plead ignorant regarding God's requirement. And what does he require? He requires repentance for every wrong deed. He requires a change in the posture of our hearts. Rather than arrogantly thinking we can make it without him, he wants us to humble ourselves before him and ask him to forgive us for the mess we have made of our lives. We must acknowledge that we need his help. God will. Indeed, our up close and personal God will judge the world one day by the man he raised from the dead. Now, as you probably have noticed, if you've been around, you listen to a lot of sermons, nobody seems to like to talk about judgment. However, we lie to ourselves and to those around us if we pretend that God will not judge each and every person who does not call on his name in repentance. Every person will stand before God and give an account of his or her life. When that day comes, will you be able to say that you live for Jesus, or will you have to admit you really live for yourself? Because according to my Bible. I don't care how religious some people are. I don't care how nice some people are. There's still going to be a whole lot of people going to hell. Doing a lifetime of good deeds is not enough to earn our way into heaven. We can only get there by trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross to take away our sins. Who will avoid this judgment? All who believe on Christ. Those who call on him for forgiveness and salvation. Now, these are some of the truths we find about God in the Bible. He is an awesome God whom everyone will have to answer to one day. However, in addition to holding us accountable, God wants to hold, he really wants to hold us close. Because that's all he really wants from us, getting close to him. That's what Acts 26 through 29 is all about. Listen to what the word of God says. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. You see, beloved, God arranged things so that people would try to find him and they would be able to do it. People in the past have tried to show what he is like by making statues and images, but he cannot be condensed into an image or even into an ideal from man. He's much too big for all of that. And we need to remember something else. He is in control. He is in control. See, he puts people in the right place at the right time so they will hear the gospel and have an opportunity to receive him. Now, the enemy does try to thwart his plan, but God is so much better strategist than Satan is. Now, Satan is clever, and he is strong. But you need to know and understand, God outclasses him infinitely in every single way. The enemy is strong, but our God is stronger. The enemy is clever, but our God is wiser. You see, we need to understand God is going to have the last word about everything. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Therefore, he is infinitely wise. And in God's wisdom, he has made himself accessible to each and every one of us. He wants us to seek him and search for him, but he also wants us to find him. He is not far from us. God wants to be found by us. Now, please understand. God is not playing games with us. He is not going to make it difficult to find him just so he can get a kick out of watching us stumble around in the dark. That's not the way our God works. He doesn't deal on us as man deals on us. The reason God wants us to do a little seeking for him is because only that which is worth seeking is worth finding. Listen. If God just threw himself at us, we may not honor him as the powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when we become driven by our desire to know our Creator and we begin to seek him out, knowing that without him we are lost, then we will find him and honor him for who he is. We will find him when we look for him with all our hearts, just like the prophet Jeremiah told us in Jeremiah 29 and 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. See, the Lord don't want a little piece of it. The Lord doesn't work on a little dab, or do you? No. He wants your whole heart. Which brings me to my hallelujah final requirement. Getting close to God begins with repentance. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, is what it says in verse 30. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this in all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Now, you know what? The church, it was no different back then than it is today when a person of God is going to stand up, when a servant of God is going to stand and tell you about repentance. Nobody wants to hear about repentance. No. They want to hear about the blessing. They don't want to hear about the fact that we need to repent. Therefore, at this point, Paul had lost much of his audience because most of them did not believe in the resurrection or life after death, let alone final judgment that required repentance of all things. As soon as Paul starts to talk about this resurrected man who would judge people for doing right or wrong, he received three responses. First, it appears that most of them just wrote him off as some kind of crazy or some kind of, you know, and thought it was strange that anyone could believe that somebody could come back to life after dying. The second response was that some people wanted to know more about what Paul had said at a later time. And the third response was that some people believe what Paul had said about God, who is close and not far away, and therefore they repented, and they were willing to change the things in their lives that were an offense to God, and they started a relationship with God. Who can be known? Who can be, who is up close? Who wants to be personal with you? You see, repentance is absolutely necessary. If you want to get close to God, it is absolutely necessary if you want to make it to heaven. The reason humans struggle so much with it is because it deals a death blow to your pride. Yes, that's what's really going on.
Amen.
Something inside us dies but we have to understand something inside us must die so something greater in us can live.
Amen.
I know nobody enjoys saying, okay, I was wrong. And who really wants to admit, I messed up, I've sinned and done wrong, God? Yet that is exactly what God needs to hear from our mouths. And that is exactly what he needs to see in our heart. The New Living Translation reads in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. A broken and repentant heart, oh God, you will not despise. Now, hopefully, we are all past the point of caring about what people think instead of what God thinks and knows.
Amen.
And hopefully, we're past thinking that we truly know what's best for our families. Without God, I can tell you today that a relationship with the one true God through Jesus will help you to become a better everything. Yes, you will become a better person. It will help you to be a better parent to your kids. It'll help you be a better grandparent to your grandchildren. It can help you to be a better spouse. It can help you to be a better friend. It will improve your quality of life because it allows you to deal with the hurts and the disappointments in life. And it will free you to enjoy each and every day without anger, fear, guilt, or any other negative emotion that can bog us down. It even results in deliverance for so many who are bound by addictions or tormented by the enemy. However, one of the greatest things about knowing God is that knowing that the future is already taken care of. Ha! Hallelujah. When we serve an up close and personal God, we know that this life is not only taken care of, but the life that is to come is already taken care of. So what will your story be? Will you be like some who heard Paul and had no further interest in the things of God? Will you just go on with your life? Will you be one of those who would like more information about the things of God before you decide how you want to respond? Or will you be one of those who just hear the truth, know the truth, and just know you need to make things right with God? Now listen, I'm not here to coerce you or push you into anything, but don't let the enemy talk you out of the best offer you'll ever have in this life or the next. I'm not talking about joining a church or a religion, but I'm talking about starting a relationship with Yahweh, Jehovah, the living God, the King of and Creator of the universe. Folks, God wants us to be close to Him. If you already have a relationship with Him, I urge you to get closer. Because God is as close as you want Him to be. The question is, how close will you let Him get? If there is something in anything in your life that is keeping you at a distance from the Lord, I came to tell you this morning that whatever that thing is, it's not worth it. You need to put that thing in its place. Look, you need to decide today. I am no longer going to give my heart and my affections away to anyone or anything other than the one who gave His life for me. And that is none other and the only one. That is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you really and truly want to be a friend of God, you have to know God. And it's got to be more than just a form of religion. It's got to be more than that. Being up close and personal with God means that you love Him simply because of who He is. When you're up close and personal with God, you're going to trust Him. You're going to stand on His word. Why? Because you know that God is sovereign. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to do anything. When you are in an up-close and personal relationship with God, you're going to be completely sold out to the things of God. You're going to believe what God says. You're going to trust that He is going to do what He says He will do. And you will stand on that word in faith with an attitude of gratitude because you are expecting God to show up any second. You know your blessing is coming. You know that breakthrough is coming. You know that situation is about to turn around. When you're truly seeking to be in an up-close and personal relationship with God, you won't be afraid to surrender everything to Him. You won't be afraid or ashamed to repent at all so that you will always be in a position to give your all. You will be able to live so that He will be glorified, magnified, and lifted up through you. Yeah. God loves you, and He wants you to get closer to Him than you have ever been. And I truly hope that you will take those steps today if you have already professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you have fallen away. Hallelujah. Good news, good news, good news. God said, come on back, because He still wants to be in an up-close and personal relationship with you. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, oh, good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. Jesus, the Son of the living God, wants to be in an up-close and personal relationship with you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I promise you, it will be the best relationship that you will ever have in this life or the next. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That concludes this morning's message. Hallelujah. And in a moment, at this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa Carver to come in and to bind this teaching. That will be followed by Apostle Zeta Flowers picking back up her mic, and she will lead you in an invitation, a call to salvation. Hallelujah. And then we will hear a word for the men from our mighty bishop, Bishop Lester Carver. But first, let us hear from our dear intercessor, pastor, and sister, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Come on in the room, Bluff.
Thank you, Apostle. I just thank you, Lord, today for this message that we know you up close as personal. I thank you, Lord, today that the vessel that poured into us, Apostle Cook, Lord, that you replenish and restore everything that was poured out. And even in her intercession, even in her impartation and the yokes that are being broken, I thank you, Lord, today that this word will be applicable to us, Father God, that their level of understanding, Lord, will be fruitful, that our insight will be full. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not afraid or that we're not distracted from the things that we heard that convicted us, that drew us, will draw us closer to you. I thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word, Lord, for it is a light for us, Lord, and it opens up the eyes of our understanding where we were confused, that there be no more confusion, but that we be able to receive this word with peace, expecting that it'll make a change in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah. Yes, we want you to have that up close and personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that right now, we're all going to ask Apostle Zeta to come back, and she is going to lead those of you whose heart has been moved to receive Christ. She is going to lead you in the invitation and the prayer of salvation. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we have heard a great word today. And each and every one of us, those of us that have known the Lord for years and those that haven't and those that are just coming to know him and those that are looking to be saved today, praise God. I'm going to just share a few scriptures with you, and then I'm going to lead you into prayer. We all have come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned in our past times, and even some of us can even slip today. But there is a way, hallelujah, to confess your sins and to repent. I'm going to read a few scriptures now, and then we're going to lead you into a prayer of salvation. Romans, the 10th chapter, starting with the 9th verse, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him, meaning Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and that when you have the faith, hallelujah, to believe. Praise God. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. I would say today is an opportunity to come to Christ if you do not know him, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, or if you know him to be the Son of our living God, and to know that God gave his only begotten Son, hallelujah,
yes,
for our sakes, hallelujah, he chose him to die that we could live eternally with him. So if you're ready, I believe that today is the appointed time. We don't want to wait, praise God, and then to miss out. So I would like to lead you into a prayer of salvation. Praise God, that you can know more about God and live for him and learn more about him. So if you can repeat this prayer with me, hallelujah, you will be saved on this day. Father God, I come to you confessing that I am a sinner and knowing that Jesus died on the cross for me and he rose on the third day. I believe this within my heart. I desire to change my life, to allow you to work in me and through me, that I will become that person that you would want me to be. If you believe this within your heart and you have accepted that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are now saved.
Amen.
Father God, I pray for these ones. I pray, Lord, that you will keep your hand upon them, that you will watch over them,
Lord,
that you will lead them to a place where they can worship you, where they can learn more of you, Lord, that they can have a relationship with you and understand what it really means, because that is what you desire, to have a relationship with every one of us.
Yeah.
So we ask in the name of Jesus that this one will become strong in you, Christ Jesus, and will grow, hallelujah, and will be able to serve for the sake of your kingdom and for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And glory to God. And we just want every person that just prayed that prayer in any form to know that we here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we are rejoicing with the angels, because the Word of God says that if just one comes to the Lord, the angels in heaven rejoice. And we are rejoicing with the angels. We want to be some of the first to welcome you into the family of God. We pray that you will indeed find yourself a local Christ-centered church where the people are truly loving, are true believers, and truly operate as Christ has commanded his church to operate, so that you can grow and you can be nurtured and you can be fed and you can be discipled, so that you too can live your most abundant life, or your best life, as people love to say these days, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now at this time, we're going to ask for our bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, to come forth with his Rhema word to the men for this Sunday.
The word for the men for this Sunday is to learn how to lean on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future, to receive all of God's grace and mercy that is new to you each and every day, to fully engage all of the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you so that you can produce within your life the fruit of the Spirit, and to study God's word so that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and so that you can reach out and help someone else and draw them into the kingdom of God. I want each and every one of you to know that God's call on your life is real, and that God's hand on your life is real. And the work that God started within you, he is faithful to perform it. He is going to finish it. God leaves no work that he starts unfinished and undone. Know that God is able in every situation to restore and perfect all things pertaining to you. God's plan for your life is good. So what the Spirit of the Lord says to you today is recorded in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 22. And it says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The message for today is the same as it's been for quite some time, which is to repent, to turn away from serving sin and serve God, to turn away from trusting yourself and trust God, to turn away from pleasing people and please God, to turn away from obeying your own self and your own interest and obeying God. I want to encourage each and every one of you today to stand in your place as a man, being meaningful, active, and necessary, and know that God has called you before the foundations of the world to be his son. That's the word for the men today.
Amen.
Amen.
What a word indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have been in the midst of a wonderful service on today. And I just want to once again thank Mother Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and Minister Tina Brown for their obedience and their faithfulness. And I just want to praise God for them, because they bring so much to the service to make it rich and even fuller. So I just want to, first of all, thank my Spirit Alive family. Then I want to thank all of you for joining us here this morning. I pray that you will continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Hallelujah. And we just praise God for all that we've heard today. And we pray that you will indeed go out and apply that word and take the good news of Christ with you everywhere that you go. So, hallelujah, if there be nothing else, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly until we meet again. Hallelujah. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from your house, my household of faith, to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of your week, everyone. Spirit Alive family, you were phenomenal, and I love you. Have a blessed day.
Love you all. Love you too.
Amen. Yeah. Love you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Love you all. Thank you for a beautiful message, sister.
Amen. Yes. God bless you.